from here. They're not from our area, but people that know that I'm a brand new pastor. So they send me words of encouragement. And this one was from a very nice pastor. I like him a lot. But he said, you know, sermon writing is one of the hardest things of a pastor's job. We spend a lot of hours on it trying to hear from God. And he said, you know, there's a lot of apps now that will help you write your sermon. So it's an AI app that will help you write your sermon. And I thought about that. And I can see the temptation, because we want to be able to speak well. We want to have our message polished. And that can come at the cost from hearing from God. And this same week, this past week, the Pope, he spoke to his priests, and he said, don't let AI write your homily. In the Catholic Church, the message is called a homily. And he said, don't do it. The temptation is there, but the people want to hear from you. They want to hear from your faith and your relationship with God. And don't just turn it over to a computer to write your homily. And I thought that was pretty good advice. But we're living in different times. I also saw a video today of Brandon Lake. He's a Christian singer that I really like. And he was supposed to be on this European tour, and it said that he collapsed on stage. And it had a picture of him, and the people that he sing with, they're all around him. And then I Googled that to see if it was true, and they said that was completely made up. It was completely AI generated, and he never passed out. He didn't have any of those problems. And think about that. Think about the lies that we can be told every day. And we need Jesus. And, you know, for the last 2 weeks, we've talked about how God transforms us. That this week's message is entitled, Jesus Rescues Us. And for so many different reasons, we need Jesus to rescue us. Our scripture today is in Isaiah 46:4. Even to your old age and gray hairs, I am he. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you, and I will carry you. I will sustain you, and I will rescue you. And another thing that happened was last night, I cleaned up my kitchen, and I went to bed, and about 12:20, because I looked at the clock, at 12:20, it was like someone put like something frozen on my nose. And my nose was so cold, it didn't even make sense. And so I laid there and I thought, I better go check the thermostat. And so I got up, and it was weird because it wasn't really cold in our house. And our thermostat's clear across the house by the kitchen dining room area. And I checked it, and it was where it always is. But when I went there, I smelled natural gas really strong in our kitchen. And evidently, when I cleaned up the kitchen, I bumped the knob on our stove. And so it was just letting natural gas, you know, pour out into our kitchen. And our furnace is in a room just right beside the kitchen. And Dan said, oh, it probably wouldn't have exploded. Probably. But I was so grateful that this cold nose, this strange situation woke me up, and I went and checked on it and got the natural gas shut off. And I just, as I was getting back into bed, I said, thank you, Lord. Thank you for rescuing me from things that I don't even know that are a problem. And I think God does that. He goes before us, and he rescues us from the big things and the little things. This morning, I want to tell you the true story of Joanne Moody. She is alive today, and she freely shares her testimony. Back in 1999, Joanne was a Christian, and she and her husband were expecting a son. And she had such hopes and dreams about being a great mom. And during labor, something strange happened, and she was injured. In fact, she had 7 nerves crushed on the one side of her pelvis and 5 nerves crushed on the other side. And this started her journey of living with agonizing pain. The pain was 24/7. She was on 7 different opiate medications, and they did not control her pain. From 1999 to 2005, she had 7 different surgeries, and none of them helped. Now, she tried to prioritize her son over the pain. The grandparents, they helped out. And during this time, she wrote in journals. And for her, writing to God in these journals was like clinging to God. She cried out to him, "What did I do wrong?" You know, chronic pain that severe for that long can make you feel hopeless. And there were moments where she had suicidal thoughts. She had all those medications inside her house, and she could have ended her life easily. But instead, she clung to God desperately. She tried to serve her family the best she could. Her husband said that she would still give them a smile even in the midst of her agony. She went to a pain pelvic clinic, and they said there was no cure. There was no fixing this for her. But he did say that her liver would fail soon because she was taking that many medications. And then he told her about an experimental surgery that was being done in Paris. It was like a clinical trial type thing. And so she went to Paris and to get the surgery. And during the surgery, something went horribly, horribly wrong. And she bled to death and died. And immediately, Joanne found herself in heaven. She experienced overwhelming peace and no pain and the beauty of standing in the presence of God. And Jesus said to her during this time, "I see you suffering, and I know full well your pain. You can go with me now, or you can stay on earth. The prayers of the saints have given you choice, for there is much work to be done." So that's what Jesus said to her in her memory. And Joanne, she did not want to go back to the pain, and she didn't know about this work that Jesus was talking about. But she had this image of her son and her husband, and she decided, "I want to go back." And Jesus said, "As you wish, my child, but you know there will be much pain. I will never leave you, and I will be with you minute by minute." And just like that, Joanne went back into her body and back into the pain. Now, Jesus had mentioned the prayers of the saints that affected her choice. And in her testimony, she quotes Revelation 5:8. And this is where it gives us this image of these golden bowls that sit on the altar, and they're full of incense. And that is the prayers of the saints. And in Revelation 8, verses 3 through 5, it gives us this image of an angel at the altar who has been given much incense with the prayers of all of God's people. And he took the incense burner, he filled it with fire from the altar, and he hurled it to earth. Meaning that the prayers of God's people are powerful and they can affect things on earth. Now, in this Revelation 8, 3 through 5, it's actually talking about when the angel hurls that down, it's talking about justice. Justice is being served. But I like the image of the prayers are kept in these golden bowls. And on that day, approximately 400 people were praying for Joanne. In the next 48 hours, it took 2 more surgeries to save her life. But it resulted in additional internal scarring and damage to her right hip. In fact, the cartilage in her right hip is just now gone. And Joanne is back to this intense pain and taking lots of pain medications. And in 2013, Stanford University said that Joanne needed another surgery. And this would have been her 13th surgery. And she just wasn't sure she was up to that. And so Joanne, she is just praying. And she's asking, God, what do I do? And she heard God say, go to the voice of the apostles and you'll be blessed. Now, what's strange about this is that Joanne didn't even know what the voice of the apostles was. She had to Google it. And what it was is it was a healing conference that was going to be in Florida. And so Joanne went to this conference. She took one of her friends. And while they were there, this man named Richard, he comes up and he lays hands on her and he prays for her. And suddenly the weight comes off. One minute she's in excruciating pain, and the next minute there's no pain. And there's actually video of her at this conference. And she is healed just right there after 20 years of suffering. Medically, it was pronounced as a supernatural healing. Her cartilage was restored, and that can be seen on the before and after x-rays. You know, it's all medically documented. And now Joanne travels all over the world, and she prays for people and tells them about Jesus. And many others have been healed at events that she has spoken at and prayed when she prayed for people. You see, Jesus was there with Joanne during the years of pain. Jesus was there when she died and was on the operating table. And Jesus himself said that he would be with her minute by minute. Jesus rescued her from her pain and despair and empowers her to serve others for his kingdom with great joy. There's another story I want to talk about Jesus rescuing someone, and it's found in Daniel 3. Now, some of you have heard this story, but maybe some of you haven't. King Nebuchadnezzar made a golden image, and he required everyone to bow down and to worship when they heard the music. And it was decreed that whoever did not fall down and worship immediately would be thrown into the blazing fire. Now, there were a group of men that were tattletales. And they went to the king and said, there are some Jews who you have set over your affairs in the province of Babylon. And their names are Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they pay no attention to you. Your Majesty, they neither serve your gods nor worship the image of gold you have set up. And furious with rage, King Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and said to them, is it true you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I have set up? When you hear the music, if you fail to worship, you will be thrown into the blazing fire. And then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand? And they said to the king, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this manner. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold. Now at this, the king was even more furious, and he ordered the furnace to be heated 7 times hotter than usual, and for the soldiers to tie up the 3 men and throw them into the blazing furnace. It was said that the furnace was so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who were supposed to put the 3 men in. And so the 3 men just kind of fell into the furnace. And so a little bit of time goes by, and King Nebuchadnezzar looks into the furnace. And he said to his advisors, weren't there three men that we tied up and threw into that fire? And they're like, certainly, Your Majesty. Well, look, I see four men walking around in this fire, unbound and unharmed, and the fourth looks like the son of the gods. And he shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out. And so they did come out. The fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was there a hair on their head singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of smoke on them. And the king praised the God that rescued the three men. They trusted in God, and they defied the king's command, and they were willing to give up their lives rather than worship any god except their own. And the king promoted them. Now, Jesus rescued the three men in this story differently than he rescued Joanne. But in both cases, Jesus was there. And in both cases, their stories bring people to Jesus, to people who need to know our rescuer. How many people do you think have read this story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over thousands of years? And they've been touched by this incredible rescue. Jesus is the ultimate rescuer, whose birth, life, and death formed the greatest rescue mission in history. God is described as a refuge, strength and shield for the brokenhearted. He rescues us from despair and fear, spiritual bondage, terrible situations, and at times, he rescues us from ourselves. And God saves us from the storms. In Matthew 14, the disciples were in a boat crossing the lake, and the storm comes up at night, and they see Jesus walking across the lake, and they were terrified, and they said, is it a ghost? And Jesus said to them, take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid. And Peter wanted to walk on the water, because he's Peter. And so Jesus told him, okay, come. Now, Jesus hadn't told him that he was ready to walk on water. But I think, in my opinion, it was one of those teaching moments, just like some of the teaching moments we have with our own children. Okay, give it a try. I'm here to rescue you if you need it. So Peter gets out of the boat, and he comes towards Jesus. And when he saw the wind and the waves, he was afraid, and he begins to sink. And he cries out, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus reaches out his hand and caught him. And that is a beautiful image. God reaching his hand out and saving us, pulling us back. Jesus saves us even when we get ourselves into situations that are over our heads. And each of us have different storms in our lives. And Jesus never leaves us. He may guide us, he may correct us, but he never leaves us. And faith is required to call on God for deliverance. Psalms 50:15 says, call on me in the day of trouble, and I will rescue you, and you will honor me. God does not rescue us to leave us looking back on the past with fondness. Remember, we talked about Lot's wife last week. If God rescues us from an evil situation, God gets the glory, and we cannot miss our old sinful days. Our God carries us through every valley, every storm, every dark night. He has been there sustaining you. Have you ever thought back to one of the hardest times in your life? And you're like, I can't even believe I made it through that time. It was not good. Well, that was Jesus carrying you through something that you couldn't survive on your own. But the world offers us many false gods. Success, comfort, control, distractions, addictions. I think a new false god is to get your sermon from the internet instead of listening to God and bringing it to the people yourself. Just my opinion. And when we are spiritually dry, we are tempted to turn to those things to fill the void in our heart. But those false gods will eventually become a huge burden. They demand more and more from us, and they can never satisfy the needs we have in our heart. But Jesus says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Even when you can't feel him, he is there. Even when your prayers seem unanswered, he's listening. Even when you're failing him, he reminds us to remain faithful. And he remains faithful. When God says, I will rescue you, this isn't passive. God doesn't just observe our struggles from a distance. He jumps into the flames in the furnace with us. He actively intervenes. He can rescue us when we are in a dark place spiritually. He can rescue our thoughts through his word. He rescues us through our worship. When we choose to worship him, even when we don't even feel like it, we do not feel like worshiping, and we do it anyway, something shifts inside of us. Have you ever experienced that? It's amazing. God speaks to us even when we're not sure we want to worship him. He rescues us through his spirit. Romans 8:26 says, the spirit helps us in our weakness. When we don't even know what to pray, when we pray in tongues, God just intercedes on our behalf. When we don't even know, the Spirit shows up and takes over for us. Galatians 1:4 tells us that Jesus gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil one. God's rescue is not temporary, it's eternal. No matter how deep the pit, God is able to lift his people out and set them on solid ground and provide a new, purposeful life. In this Lent season, our focus is on how Jesus has rescued all of us. He rescued all of the people in this church, and it's our duty to bring people that we know that have not received Jesus. We need to bring them. We need to introduce them. They need to know that Jesus wants to rescue them too. This is the time to know Jesus, to know the one who came to rescue us. We are living in troubling times. We need to call out to our rescuer and fill the golden globes on the altar with prayers for more people to be saved. I want us to spend a few minutes in prayer for those who do not know Jesus. Let's pray for loved ones who don't know Jesus. Let's pray for our neighbors. Let's pray for our community. Let's pray for the hope and eternal life that they can find in Jesus.